Hey everyone, welcome to Mosaic House Online Worship. Today we are answering the question, how do I make the best decisions of life? Wouldn't you say your life, my life, life in general, life for everyone is filled, riddled with decisions that we have to make? In fact, I heard someone say, your life is the summation of all the choices, all the decisions you have made up to today. Decisions like, should I go to school? And if so, what kind of major should I decide on? Should I go to a trade school instead? And if so, which trade school? Should I drop out like all these famous and successful people, people like Steve Jobs? Before you answer that question, just remember, you ain't Steve Jobs, right? Okay. Should I date? Should I break up? What kind of girl, what kind of boy, what kind of man, what kind of woman should I court? Should I get married? And if so, what kind of person should I look for? Should I take this job? Or should I leave this job and look for another one? Should I move? Should I go? Should I stay? That sounded like a song. Should I buy a house or should I rent? I mean, the questions go on and on and on. Should I play safe? Should I confront the person? I mean, you get my point. So the question is, how can we, how should we, how do I make the best decisions in life? Because these are really important decisions, and any of these decisions could make or break your life. So let us turn to the book of Proverbs. Would you join me by going to the first chapter? We're just going to look at the introduction of the book. So hear the word of the Lord. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. And let's read verse 7 together, because this is the key theme of the entire book of Proverbs and also the entire book of the Bible. Let's read it together. Verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of your glory. We come to you now, seeking your wisdom. We come to you now, seeking your understanding and knowledge. So therefore, Holy Spirit, open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, that we may see Jesus, hear Jesus, conceive Jesus in our hearts. To your glory we pray. Amen. Write these words down, and before you do that, please download the sermon outline. This will help you to understand and retain the message you are receiving. The theme and the goal is this. You make the best decisions in life when you walk with the wisdom of life. You make the best decisions in life. How? When? When you walk with the wisdom of life. Wisdom of life refers to this observation that there is a certain way how your life should run, how best it can be lived. Right? How it's supposed to work, if you will. And your decisions in life is, do you see it? Do you understand it? Do you grasp it? But most importantly, do you agree with it? And do you apply yourself into that design as to how your life is best supposed to work? Let me give you an example. It's a personal one. I think this is one of my top 10 sermon illustrations, not mine, but if I asked my church people, what are your top 10? I think they're going to pick this as one of the top five. Okay? Yes, for sure, top five. Some time ago, I was helping my brother move from Ann Arbor, Michigan to San Francisco, California. It was a long, long road trip, and my brother rented the biggest U-Haul truck, 26-footer, okay? Big one. And we left Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I was driving. When we were near Chicago, the truck stalled in the major interstate highway. You know why? Because half an hour ago, 30 minutes ago, I pumped unleaded into a diesel truck. That's right. That's right. The truck stopped. It didn't work. It wouldn't start. And it was disastrous. So what's the point? This diesel truck is supposed to work, supposed to run, and it's designed for to operate with what? Diesel. And when I pump diesel into it, it works the best. So it's going with the grain, going with the design, going with the purpose as to how this truck was supposed to run. And that's what the book of Proverbs is saying. When we observe how life works, and there is a design, and there is the best way, and as we make decisions according to its purpose, then you make the best decisions in your life. So I want to unpack it in three ways. Number one, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. You know that verse 7 we just read together? This is the key verse. In fact, this idea, this theme, this verse, this saying, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, all understanding, runs through the entire Bible, not just in the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despised wisdom and instruction. In the book of Proverbs, there are two types of people, the wise and the unwise, the fools. The wise are those who recognize how your life is supposed to work, how best it's supposed to run. Those are the wise people. And they submit to that principle and they apply themselves under it. The fools, the unwise, are those who deny it, reject it, or do not submit themselves under its authority. And what the book of Proverbs is saying, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. And by now, you should ask the question, what do you mean the fear of the Lord? You mean like we have to be scared of God? We have to be terrified of God? Well, that's what I first thought when I first became a Christian. I read this verse and said, what a strange, obscure verse. Now, over the years, I have learned its meaning. The fear of the Lord, which occurs more than 700 times in the Bible, okay, it means this, and let me read this. The fear of the Lord is a holy reverence and awe for the Creator God and your place in His creation. It's a moral mindset that recognizes you are not God and that you don't get to make up your own definitions of good and evil, of right and wrong. Instead, you humble yourself before God and embrace His wisdom on how best to live your life. That's what it means. And that is what it means to fear the Lord. Recognizing there is the Creator, recognizing there is the best way according to the designer, according to the manufacturer, and I'm going back to the diesel truck analogy, and not only that, you submit yourself under it, and you apply your life accordingly. And that's what it means. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Number two, morality is a guide to the path of wisdom. Morality is a guide to the path of wisdom. When you observe the creation, the universe, this world in which we live, you observe there are such things as the natural laws, like physics, mathematics, and you realize, hey, the creation is ruled by these physical natural laws. And in my opinion, therefore, science is is the observation and the interpretation and application of the natural laws. And the natural laws are there because the Creator has placed them in His creation. So that's why, as you understand how physics works, as you understand how mathematics work, you can better understand how life works. Now, I know that you agree to that. So therefore, you also observe, do you not? Some people are better at social laws or interpersonal laws. What am I talking about? Some people know how to behave better at the interpersonal levels. They know somehow, intuitively, what works in relationships. Now, let's talk about that. It's a bit subjective, but you know what I'm talking about. There are certain things that foster and cultivate relationships, like respect, dignity, kindness, understanding. So those are the virtues by which relationships work, without which relationships don't work as well. Now, therefore, I deduct there are such a thing as morality. How should we treat one another? What is right and wrong? And this idea of morality is embedded in creation. Just like the natural laws, the physical laws, there is the moral laws as well, by which we know, is this right? Is this wrong? Is this acceptable? Is this unacceptable? Is this, you see. Now, in the Bible, and particularly in the Ten Commandments, the moral laws are expressed. Let me remind you. This is from Exodus chapter 20. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Number two, you shall not make idols. Number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number five, honor your father and your mother. Number six, you shall not murder. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. Number eight, you shall not steal. Number nine, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Number 10, you shall not covet. Many theologians and biblical scholars and many ethicists have come to a conclusion that the Ten Commandments are not just for some obscure people in the far Middle East, but rather it is the morality for all humanity, with the capital M, morality. And some of you are saying by now, hey, hang on here. I don't believe there is absolute morality or objective morality. I espouse the ideology or the idea of moral relativism. So here's the definition of moral relativism. Moral relativism is the ideology that there is no universal or absolute set of moral principles. Rather, morality is relative to cultures, peoples, and to individuals at any given time. This is a very popular view. I like to suggest that this is not only a view or an idea, it is an ideology. It shapes people's, it shapes how people live and treat one another. Now, how should I respond to this? Well, I'm just going to say two things, given the interest of our time. Okay, number one, when you say to me, there is no absolute or objective morality, instead everything is relative and subjective, number one, you are making an absolute and objective moral judgment, are you not? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Okay. Any person with any sense of logic and reason has to assent to the decision. Philosophically speaking, you are contradicting yourself, number one. Number two, if there is no morality by which my action can be judged, then I don't hold myself accountable to anyone except to myself. And when everyone does that, then there is no accountability and no responsibility. Who is to say this behavior is wrong? No one, therefore. And we don't live in a culture or society like that. We have to have some notion of this is right and this is wrong. And we can only do that when we agree to this idea that there is some form, some kind, some expression of objective morality. Now, back to my point. We make best decisions as we observe the moral laws that the Creator has given to us. Last one. Jesus is the wisdom of life. Remember the theme and the goal? You make the best decisions in life as you walk with the wisdom of life. Now, Jesus becomes the wisdom of life. Let me read a few verses from the book of Proverbs. And I want you to notice one thing. The wisdom is being personified. So listen to this. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. And when there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, when I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily in his delight, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. Did you catch that? So this wisdom, morality, the fear of the Lord is becoming personified as a person. And John makes the connection between the personified wisdom in his first chapter of his gospel account. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word in Greek is logos, which can be translated into, you guessed it, wisdom. So let me rephrase that. In the beginning was the wisdom, and the wisdom was with God, and the wisdom was God. Nothing was made without him. The wisdom of God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, filled with grace and truth. And this person, Jesus Christ, the divine Son of God, who became flesh, John is declaring that Jesus is the wisdom. He is the thread that holds the entire universe together, because everything that is made has been made by Him and by His wisdom. And this Jesus Christ is the King of all kings and the ruler and the Lord of all lords. And He holds your life and my life, and He is working out His plan in us and in you, in me, all together. And what He wants for you, for you to make the best decisions in your life as you are walking with the wisdom of life. Let me end with this. The Bible refers to our life, our journey as path. Okay, so for example, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Path. Your life is depicted as the path. And the Bible uses that more than 700 times, that life is a path. And this is a really good way. When, as we walk with the wisdom of life on our path, He will lead and guide us. We get to make the best decisions as you are familiar with the wisdom of life. So consider a path. It's a long journey. And how does it start? By placing one foot in front of the other. It's a long, repetitive, laborious, at times boring journey, because you just do the same thing over and over again. And that's how you learn Jesus Christ's voice. As simple, as mundane, as boring as you go to the Holy Scripture and you learn about Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of life, and you find out what He's like. And then you get to participate how He would have you make a decision in your current situation. I know this is disappointing. You were hoping for a technique, maybe three steps, right? But it doesn't work like that, because the wisdom of life is none other than a person of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ. And therefore, the more you get to know Him in the Scripture, in the Bible, in His community, the more confident you are as to what kind of decision you get to make in your given situation. Friends, let me end by saying, be encouraged. Your best decisions in life should be made as you walk with the decision, the wisdom of your life. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Christ, we pray that You make our path straight, because we trust ourselves in You. And we do not lean on all our own understanding, but we do acknowledge You, that we do submit under You and before You and apply the wisdom of life. In the name of Christ, amen.